Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all enjoy Michael Pozzone's Annabella red wine from California. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Hello, Rob. I'm happy to be here, folks. It's spring. Spring is in the air.
Which means rain.
It is raining.
And gray. And I'm happy that you're happy.
I appreciate your happiness over my happiness.
Yeah, I'm trying to be empathetic. And also on the show is the Triple B.
Good evening.
Yes. On tonight's show, folks, we have a wine. And the Triple B probably doesn't know how to handle this. It's a wine that doesn't suck. Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. I'm not getting my hopes up yet because that's happened before.
There's no Yellowtail on the show tonight. We're not doing a Trader Joe's extravaganza.
Oh.
I'm sure we'll get back to that next week. Because I've got something choice lined up. Oh. But, nevertheless.
When I wasn't on last week, did you all do two good wines?
No.
You did do a Value Hall of Fame, right?
Yes, but not the first episode. Okay. No. Sweet baby Jesus. Make it end. The screaming still hasn't stopped, I don't think.
My heart still hurts.
Oh, my God. And James Suckling was wrong again. But, tonight's show, James Suckling has never tasted this wine because it's not Chilean. It's, in fact, Californian. And it is the 2016 Michael Pozzone Annabella Red Blend. Michael Pozzone is or Pozzone, or however the hell you want to pronounce his name.
Pozzone.
Could be. Pozzone. Pozzone!
Pozzone!
What do they call Pizon? What's that?
Pizon, yes.
What is that? It's an Italian word for friend?
Friend.
I think so, yeah.
Brother.
Yeah.
Okay. Family. It's a, okay. Pizon.
That's what I feel like you say it like that, but with a no.
Could be. Well, anyway, I've never heard of him before, partly because I don't think that they have much in our region. Not to say that they're not famous where you're listening, but in Ohio, they don't have a strong footprint. But Annabella is like their, I would say their middle line, but gandering upon their website, everything is in the high teens to low 20 range, except they have a ultra premium wine at 50. Which isn't really ultra premium pricing, but if it's good, that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know what's most interesting about their line? They have an Oakville Zinfandel at $25 on their, that's their winery prices. It's cool.
Huh.
But anyway, the Annabella Red Blend.
Is this owned by itself? Or is it like owned by the
It's owned Illumina? By Michael Pozzone.
Well, I mean, is he owned by
P-O-Z-Z-A-N.
That I did not Pozzone. See any information on his website.
Hmm. Well, likely. I don't think he's going to have an alert. I'm owned by the...
Well, the rest of them do.
Occasionally. I mean, I'm probably at the end of it, usually you do find a link.
Yeah, and I didn't see that. Then again, perhaps I was just looking with one eye shut because I didn't want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
This, I will say, is one of the prettier labels I've ever seen on a sub-$20 wine. This was $18.99. Gold script, Annabella, red blend. Gold framing on the black label, black bottle. Very, very choice. Very
it's
nicely
really
done.
It's really sharp. So I think that they own it. Michael and his wife own and operate it.
Oh, there you go.
Which is cool. They are right next door to... His wife's name's Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
Michael and Marianne.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Michael.
It is right next door to Robert Mondavi.
Okay. So it's in Napa. Okay. Well, Napa-ish.
Yeah.
I think they are in Napa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the winery is located in Napa. But this wine is brought to us because...
St. Supre, Opus 1.
Well, St. Supre is right across the street from... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
Opus 1
is cool.
Mondavi. But this is brought to us on the show because Scott has had it out and about in his adventures. And he swears by it. Matter of fact, he has put his entire reputation... And soul on the line. If the wine is bad,
I don't
he is
give
possessed.
A damn but my bad reputation.
Are we gonna vote him off?
No, he's going to be possessed by the devil. Yeah.
Which is?
Just the devil.
Oh, I thought we were like voting him off.
No, next time he gets to drink Dark Horse by himself.
Yay!
While we watch. That's the punishment.
Okay.
Fish eye.
Fish eye. I've already done that to you.
Damn you.
I know.
Rob Mix has made us drink a lot of awful wine.
Oh, my God.
And oh, you have no idea what's in the future. Mm-hmm. But tonight, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back and drink the Annabella red wine here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So the 2016 Michael Pozzon Annabella Red Blend.
I wonder who Annabella is. If his wife is Marianne?
His mistress.
Maybe his daughter.
Or his mistress. Marianne, she's very naive. She hasn't figured that out yet. Who is Annabella? It never has actually occurred to her that it's the guy's mistress. Hey, it happened to Camus.
Maybe it's his grandmother.
Or it's his mistress. Right now, she's listening to the show. She's like, that motherfucker. she just went and killed. Winemaker Michael Pozzon murdered by wife after listening to podcast. Oh, and then Steve's brother can do that. On his podcast. Oh, true. See? Oh, it's a tie-in. See how he did that?
That was beautiful.
Yes. Excellent. Well, anyway, about this wine. I said red wine blend, or red blend. It is a blend. 66% Cabernet, 30% Zinfandel, and 4%, although it doesn't matter, Tempranillo.
Very interesting blend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where do they get that?
I know.
Their winery.
They make the Tempranillo?
Well, yeah. So, they grow.
You know, I wasn't aware it was in California, but...
Yeah.
One of the times we had this, we were with actually a local winemaker named Scott Zanin. And he said, yeah, Tempranillo is in California. Mm-hmm. Not much of it, mm-hmm. but it's quite good stock.
Mm-hmm. So if you're mixing, I understand the Cab Zan blend, but when you add in the Tempranillo, what are you hoping to gain?
Just a twinkle. Just a twinkle.
Little star.
Yes.
Oh, I wonder.
Just a twinkle.
Where Tempranillo are.
I thought for sure you were going to say Syrah because it's basically black in the glass.
It just—I suppose it would pretend on the or depend on the particular Tempranillo you're throwing in there. So, if it's showing minerality, that's why you're.
That's what I was going to say.
If it's showing fruit, that's why you're doing it. If it's showing just a little bit more tannin, that's why you're doing it. It just depends on what
it has to offer.
Because your winemaker has drank that mm-hmm. Tempranillo, he knows what it will add, but in that minute amount,
yeah,
it's a twinkle. That's all. That's
but
all.
I think it's a really interesting blend. Yeah. The Tempranillo side, just the mm-hmm. the cab with Zin, you don't see that often.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to hear something that is also interesting but also concerning?
Uh-oh.
33% of this wine is sourced from Napa. And the rest of it is from California.
Right. And I did see that.
And where could that be? Could it be from the Delta?
Maybe LA.
Uh-oh, the Cabbage Patches.
Yes, down in the bayou.
Like Tijuana.
Or it could be Sonoma. It could be Central Coast. It could be.
If it was Sonoma, it would say Sonoma.
Could be Paso.
Could be from lots all around the state.
Could be. So basically,
if it was somewhere that was known for wine, it would say that. It's seriously probably from LA.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's just not. It's just a blend of blends from different parts is why it's California.
Yes, yes.
I'm now nervous.
You should be.
Don't be nervous.
Which suggests this is not a state wine, unless it's a really big fucking winery. But 12
months
French
oak. I asked where the Tempranillo was from. You said it was from their winery.
Well, we lied. 12 months French oak, by the way.
Very nice.
But I don't know what percentage. It could be 1%. They aged the 4% Tempranillo in 12 months French oak. That's what it is. I don't know. I mean, normally, I assume if you're not going to say 50% French oak, it's 100%.
You're oaking all of it.
Well, I'm going to assume that, but I might be wrong.
You know what happens when you assume that? I think that's unstated.
You lose your soul to the devil. That's what happens. Well, in the glass, though, it looks proper. It actually looks like a Cabernet.
It's a beauty.
Can we one for 1 second. On the website, they have that review.
Yeah.
Ripe raspberries, peaches, and root beer.
On the aromas.
On the aromas. Peaches and root beer.
Unusual descriptors.
No, actually, that's their favorite R&B band from 1967. Yeah. Strangely enough.
I'm very nervous.
Should be.
It's a beauty, though.
Yes. Scott also liked other wines that we've had on the show. I don't know if it'll air before or after this. And they were dog shit.
Yeah. One.
So his palate is somewhat questionable. Or he has a drinking problem and gets too drunk.
I got a drinking problem.
Oh, this is a great question. What bottle of wine number was this of the night? First?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've had this on multiple occasions at Scally. So it's a local restaurant. We're hoping to get the owner, Frank, on the show. Yeah, and he does a really good job of having nice prices on his wine list. Mm-hmm. And this was a feature bottle.
Outstanding prices.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And literally he offered takeaway for retail price, which who does that?
Mm-hmm.
He just prides himself on offering nice wines at a reasonable price, so you can go there and not lose your mind mm-hmm. on a nice dinner.
Mm-hmm. And
I want to tell a Scally story really quick. So, we all love Scally's.
We do.
Excuse me. We all love Scally's. Rob and I were going to order it in on Saturday night to celebrate our anniversary. They weren't taking orders anymore. They were too busy. They're like one of those places that shuts down the kitchen if they can't make it like the way they want to make it. So we ended up getting Roosters.
Which is a slight step down.
However, Roosters is more expensive than Scally's.
It is more expensive than Scally's. But I will say this. When she said that they weren't taking takeout orders, she was the friendliest you ever heard. She goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry, dear. We're not." It's like, oh.
Rob and I both almost cried.
I was really sad. Although I was going to cheat.
Well, why not?
But I guess I stayed true.
If you're going to cheat, Scally's is the place to cheat.
Scally's is a good place to cheat.
That's a good place to cheat.
Rob was going to get spaghetti and meatballs, the extra meatball. That would have been like $12.
I mean, that's more than that.
Yeah.
No, the spaghetti and meatballs is $9.99, and then they're
it was $20 a person. It's $20 a person at frickin' Roosters.
Yeah. And then I was going to get the Cafe Lulu, which is they make a gluten-free version, and then it's like got a mascarpone sauce with shrimp and scallops, I think, or shrimp and crab, maybe. Delicious. Mm-hmm. What do you get?
I had a seafood special that had scallops, mussels, crab. What was the fish? It was some Atlantic fish. And this wonderful sauce. It was just fantastic entree.
It sounds like a Becky dish. What did it come with?
Phenomenal. Asparagus. And this, I'm mixing my dishes. The asparagus was with the lamb chops I got. It came with,
why are you whispering?
Brussels sprouts. And like,
that's a Becky dish.
Yeah.
Well, that's a Becky dish.
It was phenomenal.
That sounds phenomenal. Amazing. But, I don't love seafood with Italian, like as an Italian dish. I don't love seafood, but Scally's does such a good job.
They do.
It's so good.
When the wine guy was talking about cheating, he's making reference to his joining the cult. He's in the cult. He's keto man.
I'm down 40 pounds, man.
It's fantastic.
I know.
Nothing. Illness aided.
Well, a week of illness will do that to you. A whole week. I don't like that.
Yeah, don't get him started. Nobody wants to hear any details.
I'm good now. Finally, today. I mean, seriously, today.
Wow.
That was a week. Let's just not relive that. Anyway, in the
glass.
Let's
look at our nose in this.
This looks proper, but on the nose.
I'll be honest, I do get the root beer. And I'm not certain that I don't recall that root beer being there on the other bottles we had.
Well,
I'm not sure about the peach.
There's no peach. I would say it's more cassis. I understand the cola-ish, root beer-ish.
Yeah.
I've had but a cold kind of, this week. I'm really only getting raspberries, but I can't like breathe in that deeply.
You're not going to say root beer unless it's written down. Root beer.
But
because I'm going to equate those to less ham-fisted, slappy wine descriptors than root beer. Because if anything, though, I would say it's mug root beer. So there's that. It's not that.
I love mug root beer.
Not that shitty A&W.
Hires.
Ooh, Hires is a bite.
Hires is a bite, son. You know what's a good root beer? Hanson's.
I never had it. But I'd say Cassis.
I don't think I've ever heard of Hanson's.
Mm-hmm. Slight, maybe a whiff of minerality just right there. Just a nondescript core.
I'm not really smelling an oaky nose.
No. And just a slight, bit of menthol.
Maybe that's the root beer. It's coming across with some vanilla. Yeah. You know, vanilla root beer, root beer.
Oh, we're tasting.
Nope, I got it right. It's really good, folks. He's smiling. Hey, Mikey. He likes it. It's delicious.
He's trying to keep it from smiling.
Well, your soul is safe. I mean, it's not terrible. How's that sound? I mean, Trader Joe's is similar to this. But no, let's be honest. I'll tell you what. It's very interesting in many ways. It's also tasty. But you taste the interplay between the Cabernet and the Zinfandel.
100%.
And it dances the whole time. Yeah. It's such a racy, silky dancer. You know what it's like? Oh, I think it's better. But it's similar to like Intrinsic's Red Blend, how it was a dancer.
Yeah.
It has all those blue fruits too.
Yeah.
Mm. And then on the finish, you have that nice little light toasty oak.
Mm-hmm. It's tasty. Oak,
but it's just in its right place. It never gets out of line.
Right. So.
But it's airy, too. It has an airiness to it.
It's an easy drinker, was everybody's first impression. And I think we went through about three bottles at a table of five.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It went wonderful with all the entrees. This was one of those nights where you were trying everybody else's food. It was a really nice evening, and this wine made it.
The one thing I will say, it has a core of jammy plum that's near raisin, right in the core. It's not a residual sugar sweet.
No.
But it does have a slight raisin plum.
And
slight.
You know what goes wonderful with that? The chocolate.
Yes, I would think.
I'm saying the chocolate in this wine. Yeah. It's wonderful.
That's what the Intrinsic didn't have. It didn't have a chocolate edge, and this does.
Right.
There's a lot of different ways you could pair this, too. I wouldn't pair it with steak. I wouldn't pair it with anything particularly earthy. But you get yourself a charred pork chop, man, where is this wine? Oh, good God.
Was this your lamb chop night or your seafood night?
Both, actually.
Barbecue?
Mm. Yeah.
A brisket?
Ribs?
Oh, ribs, yeah. Mm-hmm. Short ribs, but not steak. I wouldn't do steak.
It's not the biggest finish, but it's lengthy.
Mm-hmm.
That subtle oak. There's just a touch of spiciness that comes across on the finish.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go front to back on this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the front palate, the mid palate, and the finish.
A couple years ago, we were in the Outer Banks. We had a restaurant called the Life Saving Station. It's in Duck. Very, very good. And I had a pork chop. And whenever it had that nice caramelized char on it. And whenever I drink a wine like this, I go back to that pork chop. I remember it very well. Because that was the best representation of caramelized char I've seen. Now, it was a little bit stressful because we had wild children with us, but...
Not as many as we do now.
That's true. But still, it was a wonderful representation of that. I just... Oof. And this wine would sing with that.
Best pork chop I ever had. Was it Charlie Palmer's Ariel?
Mm.
It was the first trip we all went on to Vegas together. And I went over there by myself. Yes, and... It was a double cut pork chop.
Mm-hmm.
What made you pick a pork chop over a steak?
It was what was recommended by the bartender. Mm. And it was an interesting cut, too. It wasn't just a double thick cut. Mm-hmm. That actually cut it so it looked like two chops.
Mm.
It was really interesting.
Mm.
And then I didn't pick the wine. The bartender picked my wine. By the glass, I must hit four. I was pretty tipsy by the end of that. I sat at the bar and watched the wine angels go up and get bottles.
We've done that too.
It was phenomenal. But, as you said, that crusty, caramelized pork fat on a pork chop is meant for wine.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be great with that.
And Ariel, over there at Charlie Palmer's restaurant there in the Mandalay. We went there when we were in Vegas, and I'm sure we've talked about Vegas before on the show a long time ago, though. It was myself, the superstar, and the Australian Russian. And we were in the bar area, were we not? And didn't we get, we got like leather couches and a coffee table.
It was bizarre.
Yeah, and so that our seating area were like these gorgeous leather couches. And we had a coffee table right between us, and that's where they served us. We had Gandala de Aza, and then you bought that ridiculous Gurgich Merlot.
Oh, Gurgich.
Yes, that was very expensive. Very expensive.
No, it was actually one of the more reasonably priced things on the menu.
It cost twice as much as Gandala de Aza. I remember that.
No, it wasn't twice.
Well, actually, math would suggest it was.
What's the one that you all had? I don't think I've ever had it, but you had it with Hank, and it was the raisin wine.
Raisin wine.
It's like made out of... It's a funny name. Amarone?
Oh, Amarone.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
It's not made of raisin, but they're very concentrated grapes. We had that at Canaletto.
Yeah.
Mm. We had a bottle of Sienna, very crown of Sienna, then the Amarone, and all those guys. Well, Hank liked the Amarone because he's cultured, but Scott and Steve...
It wasn't my favorite.
Like it. You know.
I don't know it wasn't if I've my had favorite. It. I can't imagine it being my favorite.
It wasn't my favorite.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And it was... Sunday night on a week of partying.
Yeah.
So, taste buds could have been blown.
I was fine. But then again, I'm strong.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You did say it wasn't the best Amarone you've ever had.
No, it isn't the best Amarone I've ever had, but I'm quite fantastic, so that's why it wasn't the best. Uh-huh. But it was fine.
Oh, my God.
I know. My risotto that I had was made with Amarone.
I feel like where he's been sick for a week, all of the ego's coming out.
It's right coming out now.
I was weak last week. I was very weak. This week I'm strong.
Mm-hmm.
Be a strong man.
That's right.
A strong man.
Well, anyway, we're going to take a break.
And sit-ups.
What are you doing?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay, I'm sorry. I've not watched that closely in years. Or have I ever? I don't know. Anyway, we're going to take a break, folks. And we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. Folks, have you ever sat back and thought how you first heard of the Wine Vault? Well, we need your help reaching more listeners. What you can do is go to iTunes, give us a review, give us 5 stars, give us your thoughts and feedback.
So only with your help, folks, will more people learn about, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. So, on tonight's potpourri, I'm going to ask some questions of the group, just to get to know us a little bit more.
Okay. Oh, no.
Some questions might seem obtuse. Mm-hmm. Some might seem simple. Currently, I only have two in my mind. So when I say questions, there's two.
Do you want me to ask you some questions?
I would like to. I have some. I think we have a lot of questions.
You're more than welcome to ask me questions.
Okay. You go first. Or do you want me to go first?
No, Triple P. By all means, go first. This will be interesting, folks. She's busy. I will go first.
I'll go first.
No, go first.
If you can have any body type that you want.
What?
This question I'm asking. What kind of Olympic athlete would you be? You can pick a summer and a winter sport.
Oh.
How does that have to do with wine?
It doesn't. It's just a question.
It's just a question.
And I say any body type. So if you want to be like a basketball player, you're not hitting
a curler. A curler.
For winter?
Sure.
What would you pick for summer?
A pole vaulter.
Huh? That's kind of cool.
You're not playing well.
I don't even know what fuck that means.
He's not a good sport.
He's not.
Ever. Truly never a good sport.
I didn't expect that. Now I'll ask a question.
Hold on. Scott has an answer. Yes, I have an answer.
That's right.
Everybody's going to answer the question.
That's true.
I wasn't asking you.
That's great. Go ahead, Scott. Okay. Greco-Roman wrestler.
I was going to say wrestler.
Okay.
That's cauliflower ears.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yes. And then a speed skater.
A female speed skater?
That's cool.
They're freaking rock hard as the men. Easy. Bonnie Blair. I mean, they're freaking ripped, dude.
That's cool.
Thighs for days. I mean, the as strong legs
powerful
as any muscular body speed skaters.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
My summer when I have a hard time choosing between being a gymnast and being a beach volleyball player. I think they would both be awesome.
At the opposite end of the spectrum.
Right, I know. Either I would be 5 feet tall or like 6 feet tall.
4 foot eight.
Yeah.
You'd be Steve's height.
That's why I say like your body doesn't matter. I'm 5'8", but if I was a gymnast, I'd be a full foot shorter than I am now.
Steve could be a gymnast, except for the flexibility part.
And then winter, I'd be a figure skater.
Okay.
But we asked this question at work, and someone asked if I was going to be like a single or a double.
Like with pairs. A
partner. Yeah, pairs.
I hope you're not going to be one of those dumb dance skating things.
Well, that's what I would have picked.
An ice dancer?
Yes. No.
You little
synchronized swimmer.
You little tiny dancer. You.
Well, I am so relieved because I just thought that came off the top of your head. Somebody, okay, that's fine.
No, it was like a mixer at work. I thought it was a really good question.
Good. I was just worried that that's something that you just thought up off the cuff. That's good. So my question, it might be wine related. Okay. I don't mean to burst your bubble.
I have more questions like that.
Do you? Just a wealth of interesting things. I'm sorry. Scott, do you have a question? I'm too. No, I'll go ahead. Alrighty, folks. Where in the world, whether it be country or region, you can go sub-region too. Your preferred wine region?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, I would prefer, let's just say, California, although an AVA is not an acceptable answer.
Correct.
Let's get a little smaller. Season. A little smaller than that.
Let's do it even a season.
A season?
Yes. What do you mean? That would be spring, summer, winter, fall.
No. I don't mean to stay there. I mean wines from that area.
Oh, I thought you meant like if you were going to go there right now.
Very definitely, there's three thoughts that pop into my head. Bordeaux. Dry Creek for Zen.
Mm. Okay. You're not worried about the rot?
Horse Heaven Hills. For Cab.
Mm.
Why not? That's what popped into my head.
Did it?
Yeah. Okay. It did. What popped in my head was Russian River Valley.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
For Pino?
And what I was going to say was season.
Well, it's pretty there, too.
Yeah, it's really pretty. But I was going to even go, like, a winter season, just because when we visited Lambert, they had, like, the fires and Lambert stuff. Ridge,
yeah. Well, that was pretty during... Well, that was during the winter, but...
It was during the winter.
But the winter doesn't matter there. It's not cold.
Not like it gets... And not like it gets here.
Yeah, not like no. it gets here, no. But I just was imagining, like, sitting by a fire, having a really good glass of wine. That's why I said season two.
And you were referring to Lambert Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Lambert Bridge, interestingly enough, they used to sell, like, inexpensive Chardonnay, like, $14 a bottle. They scrapped that whole inexpensive line. They went just to, like, $60 a bottle.
Yeah. Stuff.
It's really good, though. Nevertheless. And for me, everybody's mm-hmm. looking at me. I would say...
What would you say?
Humilla.
Mia.
Humilla in Spain. For...
Very nice.
Mourvedre.
Oh, very nice. We do like Mourvedre.
That's what I would
what
say.
What time of year? Every day?
Yes.
Where else?
Preferably in the afternoon when they all nap.
Mm.
You know, somewhere... And props out to New Zealand for going
and,
through...
And in the morning when they all nap. They're either napping or smoking cigarettes in bars. Seriously.
Fair.
That's what I experienced. I don't know. Maybe that's wrong, but the bars were full and everyone was drinking and smoking cigarettes.
No, I said New Zealand for your new love of Pinot.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Shout out to New Zealand. That's true. Suffering from the plague that is upon our
mm-hmm.
world.
Mm-hmm.
Gun yeah. violence.
So just to...
Random.
Something that craziness. Is so admirable to me is their prime minister... Not even a week later, they banned all assault rifles, all military-style weapons. It's impressive.
I didn't know they were legal there to begin with, but what did I know?
Yeah.
Anyway, folks.
What's your other question?
Oh, my other question.
Yeah, your other question. You said you had more than one.
I do. Name your favorite wine moment. It's actually Triple B's question. I'm just repeating it. She thought of this earlier.
I didn't say that. Scott said it.
Oh, it was you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
my original question was about the Olympics.
You skipped me out of Vegas, too.
Okay, I was trying to make you smarter. Okay, go ahead, Scott. Your thoughts
You're trying to make me smarter? My question was great. Everyone's going to take that to work, or they're going to be like, ask their significant other. It's a great question.
Rob, if you were a polar bear,
yes.
what would your favorite fish be?
Mm.
Mackerel.
Very nice. I love mackerel.
There you go.
I love mackerel.
See how I'm decisive?
In olive oil.
I don't think the polar bears have olive oil, do they?
Wine moments.
Wine moments.
It's just, and it's not my favorite, it's just a nice one. Mm. Princess and I, you know, it's no secret. It's been a rough time transitioning her dad to assisted living, and it's been a difficult time for her emotionally. And been trying to get her out to have an expensive dinner at the new steakhouse, Jeff Ruby's, and we finally did that. And just the wine there was just a nice part of the evening.
What did you pick?
She picked just this, some obscure Bordeaux. It wasn't anything fancy. It wasn't, by no means was it even expensive on there by the glass menu offerings.
Mm.
It was just a nice drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little light for the steaks we had, but it was fine. But then, you know, I had a couple, and I actually had Zanin that night.
Oh, yeah.
Then we went home and had a bottle of Turley, and it was just a nice evening, and wine was a big part of it. And that's what wine can do for you, you know. You want to have a special occasion, you want to have a special evening, and wine was part of that one for
yeah.
us. And it was long overdue, and the wine was great.
Some of my favorite wine moments are on our deck. That's why I was like asking about what's going to be planted in our backyard, because we have a lot of farmland by us. And I love, like, when the corn is growing and we're outside and it's dark. I just think it's, like, really private, really quiet. You have no idea that you're so close to such a big city. You just really feel like It's a good, good night. But that's, I would say that's some of my favorite nights. I can't wait. We're just maybe a month or two out from that, and I can't wait.
I remember a night on you guys' deck where we had a couple of different vintages of Old Vine.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we had like a 12 and a 14 that night, maybe.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was good. I have a little more obscure one, and it's going to sound strange. It's not, though. I've mentioned it before on the show. And I always come back to this as just kind of an interesting moment. When we were, Triple B and I were in Napa. We went to a little cafe near our hotel in Napa proper. And I got rabbit confit. It's like lunch, just regular
confit,
lunch.
Rabbit confit.
Confit? What did I say? Oh, the T is silent. Yes.
Yes.
But with that, I paired an Alsatian Pinot Blanc.
Wow.
Yeah, Pre-Star, one of those. Albert Hugel. I don't recall which one. Actually, those are Austrian, but it doesn't matter. It was just such a wonderful pairing that I had done. But it was just so out of the ordinary that I always hearken back to that. That's one of them. Also, my tasting experience at Heights is up there. Every time I've had Heights Ingrade Port is another. I had it at the Ocean Club one time. I drank a whole fucking bottle by myself here over a few times. Twice. Many times. More than I should admit. Every time I've had that, I loved it.
I don't know that I've ever seen it offered anywhere.
It's at the Ocean Club. And it's in the wine vault.
Do they have it at Giant Eagle?
No.
Downtown, no?
No. No, you can buy it from the winery or, you know, there. And let me think here. There's also, I mean, there's been so many interesting, I've been blessed in that regard. I really have. That, well, in my opinion, I've had wonderful experiences. You know, when we did Pagal.
Oh.
That was a wonderful experience. Clarendon Hills. Although Clarendon Hills, we were damn drunk. It was kind of hard to remember.
ZD
was a wonderful experience. I don't even know if... I think back and wonder, was Clarendon Hills even good? Because we were so damn drunk.
No, Clarendon Hills.
It was good.
Oh, my God. The really thing good. With Clarendon Hills was...
But also...
It was, you know, an older bottle, and we thought it was spent, and we set it aside to decant a little longer, and...
But there's also the times where...
Then it something spectacular.
You drink the inexpensive bottle that sneaks up on you that's wonderful. Like Hecula.
Hecula.
And we did that. The Old De Leon.
Oh, Old De Leon.
I mean, the wines that you kind of cling to as to being wonderful. When the Triple B and I were in Washington, D.C. with her friend Mary Scott, we went to a... and some douche that will shall remain nameless.
Yep.
yep.
The douche that shall remain nameless.
Yep.
Her ex-husband. Anyway, we were at this Spanish tapas place. And what do I order? Volver. A bottle of Volver.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Every damn meal I've paired with wine at Barcelona, whether it be Romanico or anything like that. When we were at that in Canal.
The Romanico.
We had the Romanico with those burgers. Jeezy God, that was fantastic.
You know a bottle I remember?
What's that?
The Valentine's dinner. Mm-hmm. The Can Blau.
Can Blau, yeah.
It was fantastic.
Can Blau's great.
I recommend that all the time to people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks ago, I recommended it to Joe.
I forget how cost-effective Can Blau is. It's,
yeah.
Even Can Blau Blau.
Blau Blau.
Can
Blau 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 Blau.
Yep.
Blau 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 Blau.
The last time I had Casa Castillo Las Gravas.
Oof.
I remember when we had on the show, down there, the Côte du Rhône Village from whoever it was.
Oh, yeah.
And we hadn't had a Côte du Rhône on the show before, and it was like an old friend visiting.
Oh, my God.
There's just so many times like that where you just get harkened back to memories that you experienced 15 years before. You don't forget it. It's like one time I heard what a tornado sounds like. I heard one. I can't forget what a tornado sounds like ever again. Now, I might not hear one every day, and I might even forget it kind of, but when I hear it again, I know it. It's the same kind of thing with the tasting of wine. You have this sensation from 1999. Okay, then you don't have it again until 2017 or 2022. You automatically are transported back to that because your taste buds don't forget. Your mind doesn't forget. And you're encased in that again, and you reminisce.
Hanky and I at the Cattleman's, which is an old school steakhouse in Vegas that I couldn't recommend higher.
Yep.
A bottle of the Goose, Retief Husson's vineyard. Wonderful. It was like an 09 that they discounted. It was, you know, regularly in the hundreds, and it was like, I think we gave $70 for it.
But in all,
it was fantastic.
But I've had the Goose too, and the Goose I had its feathers fall off.
And I was worried when we got it that it might be spent.
Oh, it's spent now, folks. If you have it out there, burn it.
Be nice.
No, burn it. Burn it to kill it.
But anyhow,
don't look at it straight in the eyes. But those are some ideas, folks. Just, I mean, whenever you start talking about that, all of a sudden the passion comes out. When last summer for Becky's birthday, we did a 08 Heights Trailside Cabernet.
Ooh.
Sweet baby Jesus. That's why I went out and bought a 2010.
I remember being nervous about Turley's The White Coat.
You shouldn't have been. It was really good.
Oh, my God.
Roussillon.
Oh, my God.
I just like saying Roussillon. But it's a Chateauneuf du Pape Blanc.
Yep. Blend. And they freaking nailed it.
They did, as they always do. And when we tasted Baron for the first time, it was very exciting for you. I was underwhelmed. So
you loved it.
I did. It was good. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back on the Wine Vault. Unfortunately, I found out off the air that Annabellum, Bella, is named after Michael Polzon's grandmother.
So...
Unfortunately, his wife probably already murdered him for stepping out on him. He's stepping out on with somebody else. I mean, her name isn't Annabella.
Be nice.
Okay, he's more subtle. You know.
So, what's happened with this wine, the nose has actually changed significantly.
Okay.
It's very savory in the aromas now.
Mm-hmm. And it's a 2016 Michael Polzon Annabella red blend.
It's fantastic, folks.
60% or 66% Cabernet, 30% Zinfandel, 4% Tempranillo. Yes, and it has a little bit more of the minerals popping through, too.
On the palate, they're expressing a little more as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost... It's red meat-ish. It's not quite there, but it's headed that direction.
It's a very sophisticated wine. Well, we're going to go around the room.
Silky mouthfeel.
Really good. And we're going to start off with the Triple B.
Uh-oh, she's making faces.
No, I just...
It's really good. This comes back to what a lot of...
Oh, I know. I know I need to get closer. I just don't know where to write it because I'm coming off of a head cold. So I feel like my judgment on it is not that great.
Well, if you're low, I'll do this. If you're high, I'll do that. How's that?
I was going to go in somewhere around the 87, 88 range. Higher, 89, 90, 89.
Why don't you just tell her what her score is?
You tell me the right score. I was going to say, I was going to be in the, what did I say originally? 87, 88 range?
Yeah. Anyhow.
Because I'm coming off of a head cold, all I can taste are raspberries and oak. Okay. I'm going off of what I can taste.
We're
going
to put you an NR on here. Okay, you're going to say...
That's fine, I don't care.
No, what are you going to say? No, what's your review?
I can taste the raspberries and oak. I really like it.
Okay, good. What's your review?
It's good. I would totally buy it again.
Yes, that's not a number, but...
I can only taste so much. I'll give it an 89.
89. That's good.
You're so mean.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to be mean. I apologize, folks.
I'm coming off of a terrible head cold that I've had for like over a week.
It's true.
The crud is with us. It's been brutal in Central Ohio for us.
And Scott, what are your scores?
I love this. Silky mouthfeel. This wine is about subtlety. The only thing that's not subtle about it is that chocolatey mid palate with the savory fruit, but it also has nice sweet berry fruit. It's got, as Rob said, it kind of dances around between is it cabazin, but it's not in a schizophrenic way.
But it's got the best qualities of both.
It really has the best qualities of both. It is a smooth, easy drinker. I like the silkiness. I'm going to go 90.
Mm.
And if I was going to frame this, I would say 89 to 91. And I highly recommend this. For the price point, I'm trying to think of a California blend that we've had that's comparable to this. I don't know what... can you compare this to anything, really? You mentioned...
Most of those dummies fuck it up, and they use a weird ass blend. Intrinsic's problem is, it's Cab Franc and Malbec. Now, there's a reason why no one else blend Cab Franc and Malbec like that, because it's fucking stupid.
Well,
I mean, it happened to work out somewhat in their regard, but we gave that mid-80s.
We like it.
We'd like it, but this is a buck cheaper and so much better, it almost makes you cry. I give it a 90 as well.
And this is a wine that, it is an emotional wine.
Yeah.
It's a feeler wine. It's not necessarily a thinker's wine. This is a feeler's wine. It makes you feel things. And I think it goes in the Hall of Fame.
It does go in the Hall of Fame.
Oh. You can bump me up to a 90 if you want. I don't care.
No, you're fine. It's fine.
I wrote 90 anyway. no, I didn't. I wrote 89. I understand. It has a little bit of subtle nuance, and if you're just getting over having typhoid, you couldn't pick up on a few of the little intricacies, and that's really what's there. This wine, though, is good. Now, the only reason why it's not going to get up 91, 92, it doesn't have a powerful punch, and the ageability isn't really there. But you know what I really want to do? I want to drink their Oakville Cab, and I want to do it right now.
I know.
I want it.
I was going to say off the air.
The Oakville's in. I'm sorry.
I was going to say off the air, we have to find more from this wine.
Oh, yeah,
I
know. It's great.
Well, you know, they've also got a Chard for a Chardonnay for $18.
What the fuck would I want to do with that?
They have a couple different levels of wines,
but
too.
But if they can do this, I wonder what their Chardonnay is.
Well, I know. I agree. I think that this wine level, although you can get it in kegs. Do you know that?
This is what I would drink by the keg.
It is. Yeah, I would
drink it too. I'll be honest with you. This is going to be in my queue.
This is
going to be one of my go-tos.
Well, this is the thing. If you had
They make a Russian River Pinot.
Yeah. If you had, like, a nice restaurant, okay, and you wanted something that you could price in around $45-$50, well, maybe $45, and have it like your top-level thing, you're not going crazy. This is what you buy.
This is what people should buy. This should be on people's menus.
Well, it's not surprising that Scally's has this on there. I mean, Frank has an eye. He knows
what's
good.
Remember what it was? Price
20-something, 25?
Holy shit.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes, and you could get a take-home bottle for retail at 18.
That's ridiculous.
And always has a future wine in the 20s that's always good.
It's always so good.
We did some obscure little Bordeaux once. He had a little obscure Cote d'Aron once.
Yeah. Almost every time we go, we pick whatever's the special.
Yeah.
Yes. Whatever the future wine is, you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Because
he knows what he's doing. It's something you've never heard of. And it's very, very reasonably priced.
True.
I don't know if I've seen one over 30.
No.
No. No.
I mean, maybe he does do a feature over 30. I've never seen one. Mm-mm. And if you want something that you know, you can get some different things and you spend. But even his other wines, they're... He does a good job with his mm-hmm. price points. He's not trying to rape you. He's trying to encourage people to buy a bottle with their meal and enjoy have it. A wine experience.
I respect him so much for closing the kitchen down to carry out orders.
Yeah.
As mad as we were about it and like devastated, it's also like he wants his quality to be at a certain point. Instead of just shoving stuff through the kitchen, it's like, we're comfortable at this point, and we don't need to just keep on.
I had to eat chicken wings.
I mean, they were really good chicken wings, but
right.
it wasn't as good as Scally's.
It's not what I wanted.
Yeah, takeout Roosters is not,
it's not what I wanted.
The real deal. So did you have DoorDash delivered, or did you roll and pick it up?
He went and got it.
You have to get
DoorDash. Brave man.
I got a wedge salad with it, and that was okay. It was fine.
Gotta go red, white, and blue salad.
You know, we were watching the basketball anyways. What the hell? It worked. So, folks, two 90s and 89, but a Hall of Fame nevertheless for Annabella by Michael Pozzon. If you're still alive, Michael, tip the fucking cap.
No shit, and I just like you, I want to taste their other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And you know what? We're going to.
We are going to.
We are going to. So, folks, go find Annabella wherever you are right now. It's a wonderful blend. Normally, we don't like wines like this because they're made by...
schmucks.
Or people that directed movies. Like the fucking cinema, you dickwad. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, Coppola. You suck ass.
Oh, it was spent. We had one bad bottle.
This is the Coppola, and this is magnificent. The Coppola tastes like a bum's butt.
Yeah, this is what the cinema should be.
Jesus.
This is really well done. As you said, this was more than a tip of a cap. What? How can we up our tip of the cap?
Well, this is what a lot of wines would like themselves to be. They imagine themselves this wine. They aren't, of course.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh! If I could be this fantastic silky blend.
Just a special shout out to Scott for bringing us for introducing us to this winery.
Yes.
Where we want to go and drink everything that they make.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
That Scott does something right?
No. Very rarely.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. Like I said, though, a lot of wineries believe they make a wine like this.
But they don't.
Well, they really don't.
But they really don't.
And I think that's one of those things. When we should actually be giving out an award for wines that people think, wineries think that they are emulating. But they're not.
Mm.
Because not only is this a good wine, this is a good wine that a lot of people out there listening would enjoy.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure. And listen, for those of you like some different things that are shoved down your throat. The Prisoner.
No.
The Federalist. The crap like that.
Federalist.
That people think is good. Yeah, try not. This.
Well, Scott, mm-hmm. who thought the Federalist was good?
People say that all the time.
People do, Rob.
It's a best-selling wine.
That's who said that?
They do. My customers say that. And it's okay.
Federalist?
Yeah.
Which one?
And The Prisoner. And
well, people like The Prisoner because it's sweet.
Meomi and that, but this is what
below me
wine should be.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just mesmerized. I've never heard anybody said the Federalist was good, except for our first episode when we tried their Lodi Zin, and you know we didn't know what we were doing. We said it was okay.
It was okay.
And then their cab sucked, and their Trace Pistoles, whatever the hell it was terrible. And I've had their Bourbon Barrel Zin, and that should be. That is actually a war crime.
I can't believe you.
Why did you drink it?
I don't know. Actually, their Dueling Pistols, or the Dreyeck Zinfandel, that was a war crime.
It was awful.
Those are like,
that's the only thing from
Tribunal Dry kind of stuff.
That's the only thing from Dry Creek I've ever had that was bad.
Oh my God.
And it was awful.
That's Special Counsel kind of stuff. Bad. I mean, that's really. So anyway, folks. For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we're going to see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.